Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we keep on rolling in the NFL. Week number 8 begins tonight. Joe O, Sammy P. And it's going to be the Minnesota Vikings and the LA Chargers. And to look ahead to that game and the rest of the card, whether we're talking about prop betting or fantasy, who better than to bring on Paul Charchian, at Paul Charchian over at X of Guillotine Leagues, friend of the program living up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Charch, how you feeling, man?
Not good about the Vikings tonight. I can tell you that much. I do not see a victory coming. I think there's a lot of things working against Minnesota in this particular matchup, and I'll give you some prop plays to try potentially take advantage of some of these specific individual matchups that I believe really lean Chargers tonight.
Okay, well, you throw that out there. Let's just get right to it. What do you like?
Okay. Well, let's start here. I want to go begin with Quentin Johnston over 41.5 yards, and his anytime touchdown is plus 170. I'll throw this out as just a hedge. This is high risk because there's so many receiving options in the Chargers offense. There's 4 legitimate ones. But he's got a unique matchup. He's physically imposing. He's 6'3", 210 pounds. He wins contested catches. He boxes out small defenders. The Vikings have faced 2 similarly built receivers this year. DK Metcalf went for 126 yards and a touchdown. And then last week, AJ Brown, 121 yards and 2 touchdowns. So big physical receivers have gotten it done against Minnesota because they don't have a matchup for big physical receivers. The 2 Vikings starting cornerbacks are small. Byron Murphy is 5'11", 190. Isaiah Rodgers is 5'10", 170 pounds. So Johnson can win one-on-one battles with those guys with his size. The Vikings have 1 larger cornerback, but it's Jeff Okuda, and he's awful. He has allowed a 100% completion rate in his coverage this year. Pro Football Focus ranks Jeff Okuda 152nd at the cornerback position. So no matter who matches up on Johnston, he's got a winnable matchup. And he's the 9th most used receiver in end zone targets in the league, almost 1 per game. So Johnston over 41.5 yards and the anytime touchdown plus 170.
Charge, we need your help here. And maybe you're looking for some help when it comes to the same subject. It is not really fantasy or prop betting related, though it does have something to do with your Vikings. I don't understand the emergency quarterback thing. What is going on? You're either good enough to play, you're healthy enough to play, or you're not. This was a situation on Sunday. It's the situation tonight. J.J. McCarthy, Wentz has been in. We know he was injured, all that. But he's healthy enough to be the emergency quarterback if 2 quarterbacks go down. But he's not healthy enough to play. What is going on? Is this a soft benching?
It is not a soft benching, but there are shenanigans happening here, and I'll explain what is going on. Original timetable for McCarthy back when he suffered the ankle sprain week 2 should have put him on the field last week, week 7. coming out of Minnesota's bye. And if the Vikings thought he was going to miss more time than that, they should have put him on IR, right? Because that would have freed up a roster spot. If they thought he was going to miss more than 4 weeks, IR would have been the answer. But they didn't do that, which is interesting. The most probable explanation, Occam's razor, is that he had a setback on the ankle and nobody's talking about it. He's still walking with a limp right now. And if that's the case, if you're the Vikings, why not just say he had a setback? Why all the cloak and dagger? Why continue to let these conversations, soft benching conversations, continue when you could have just said, he had a setback on the ankle? That's it. That's all you had to say. But the Vikings haven't done that, despite the fact that clearly if your ankle injury is still not right and you didn't put him on IR, that's almost certainly what happened. And the other part about the soft benching that doesn't make sense. It's not like Carson Wentz is playing so well that you're leaving McCarthy on the bench so you can have your better quarterback in. Carson Wentz looked awful last week. So the soft benching does not make sense. It's not that. He almost certainly has had an unannounced setback, and that's what's going on with J.J. McCarthy.
How good Sam Darnold been last two calendar years, huh?
Oh, God. Well, that's the other talker in Minnesota. So keep in mind, the Vikings finished last season with a lot of different paths at quarterback. Luxury, really. They had in their camp, they had Sam Darnold, who right now is an MVP contender. I know the betting odds don't look like it, but he absolutely is. Then they also had Daniel Jones in their building, MVP contender right now. They also had Aaron Rodgers, who wanted to play for the Vikings, and they eschewed him. And they went with J.J. McCarthy, who to this point, through 1.5 seasons, they've gotten 2 games out of and 1 good quarter of play from J.J. McCarthy. So Viking fans are pretty salty about the. It looks like the Vikings have, at least in the short term, prior to us really knowing anything about J.J. McCarthy, they've managed to thread the needle to the worst possible quarterback solution that they could have chosen.
Hmm. One more Vikings question for you before we move on to the rest of the card. I know you've got some props that you want to discuss as well. I started looking big picture. No, I'm not on KFan today, but I just started looking big picture at the Vikings and the rest of the schedule. And, you know, it's funny. We spend so much time in the offseason. Okay, this is the easiest schedule. This is the hardest schedule. We have no idea. None of us know. We can look at win totals and projections and all that stuff. We're all just guessing, right? Nobody really thought the Indianapolis Colts were going to be a top 5, top 6 team in the NFL. But here we are right now. That's exactly what they are. They're 6 in Super Bowl odds. It's no joke. And now you're like, whoa, the Cowboys, they're better than we thought. That's a top 3 offense in this league, no doubt about it. We're going to Seattle. Like, there are people saying that they could win the NFC. That's how impressive they've been on both sides of the ball. So it was a tough schedule to begin with, and now the games that you thought you were going to be favored or have a really good chance of winning, those are a lot tougher. Like, I'm looking at the upcoming games chart. I ran right to the win totals. I'm like, what is the updated win total on the Vikings? 7.5. Are there 4 more wins on the schedule? I don't see it.
Not apparent wins, and they get Baltimore week 10, the Vikings do, at home. By week 10, this Baltimore team's going to be healthy. I mean, you know, the reason they've struggled so much has been almost entirely and directly related to all their injuries. That's not going to be a factor by week 10 in all probability. So that game, which for a little while looked like it was winnable, is going to be harder. Bears rounding into form now. Right. So they got the Bears week 11. Bears starting. It looks like Ben Johnson is pulling that team all together. He's establishing his new Montgomery and Gibbs in the form of DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai. That team's starting to come together. There's not one game left on the Vikings schedule that you can point at and go, that's probably a win. They are all either grinders or they're tilted away from Minnesota the entire rest of the schedule.
I'm looking at this list you sent across. You got the running back unders in both Cleveland and New England. They play each other. Coincidence, or you shorten both guys separately?
It is coincidence, and let's talk about it. My favorite play of the weekend from a prop standpoint is Ramondre Stevenson under 17.5 rushes against Cleveland. Patriots offensive line struggling. Ramondre tends to do exactly as well as his offensive line allows. And against the Browns, that's going to be very little. And when Ramondre flops, he flops hard. He's had 3 good games. He's had 4 bad games. In those 4 flop games, He's averaged 22 rushing yards, 13 receiving yards. He is one game removed from an 18-yard game. And his flop is absolutely in play. Here's Cleveland, the best run defense in the league. They're number one in ESPN's run stuff win rate, number one in Pro Football Focus's run defense ranking, number one in rush defense success rate, number two in rush defense EPA, and number one in yards before contact. And when he does have these flop games, he averages seven rushes a game. Seven. He's only topped 17 and a half rushes one game all year. That's it. I don't even know what we're doing. 17 and a half over under on rushes seems, you know, he's got to have an elite out of the ordinary game, and that ain't happening against the Browns.
With Paul Charchian here on BetSwitch, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic. That game actually is kind of fascinating. It's a large point spread, and you certainly understand why, because of how well the Patriots are playing right now. But you've got Drake May, who has now entered the MVP conversation. Like, he's on the fringe with Baker, right, who didn't look great the other day. And he's performing to a high level, Drake May is, but against weak teams. You have a weak team, but you have a great defense. So I'm fascinated to see this one. Is there any hesitation? Has Drake May just been so good, he's a lock-in guy, opponent doesn't matter? Or do you look at it this week and say, he hasn't faced a defense like the Browns. Maybe if you have another option, it's worth considering.
We're starting Drake May. First, we start him all the time, no matter what, at this stage, because you know the rushing-receiving combo is just so good for him. But also, the way you beat the Browns is through the air. Just talked about how impossible it is to run on the Browns. It's also really, you know, it's just, this is their mediocre pass defense and an elite run defense. They're going to pass a ton in this game. Lots of volume coming. There's some strong individual matchups as well, including Stephon Diggs. Kayshon Boutte is a possible play as well for this team. We're going to see enough volume here that we're going to start the elements that we would normally start from a fantasy standpoint against the Browns through the air only. You're not going to touch Ramondre, as I mentioned, in the running game. And Sam, you alluded to Quinshon Judkins. Can we hit on that for just a minute in a game that I think will be difficult for him? Do we have time? All right.
Of course.
Over under 71 and a half rushing yards. We're going to take the under here. Everything we're seeing about the Patriots now, and they look like a playoff team, and everybody's talking about Drake May, MVP, totally legit. The other thing that they've done to change their fortunes is they've turned into an elite run defense. They're seeing the fourth fewest rushing plays overall. They're allowing the fifth fewest fantasy points to runners. They've got the fifth best run defense EPA, the third best yards before contact. No runner has topped 49 yards against the Patriots, and this number is 71 and a half? I think people are reliving last week's Browns game in the rain when that's all anybody could do was run the ball. Patriots are 7-point favorites. And if you think it's going to be a one-sided game, the game script tilts away from Quinshon Judkins. He also doesn't catch. So I don't like Judkins anywhere near this number of 71 and a half rushing yards. We're taking the under.
Go ahead, Sam.
There's a book hanging $1.95 on Lamar to score. Not throw, cross the goal line, of course, as you know. I understand we want to wait and see, but we ain't going to see 195 a lot on Lamar. Are you interested in an anytime touchdown?
I don't think he's playing. So, I mean, there's that. So, you know, I think your risk level here, you know,
really?
Get your ticket back if he doesn't play. So, well, that seems to be the area it's going in, right? Did not practice yesterday. Correct me if I'm wrong.
He was out there. He was out there because I'm here in Chicago, as you know, and Bears fans were freaking out about it. Like, oh no, might get the Lamar game coming back.
It might get him back. I mean, you know, the whole thing changes if it's him versus Cooper Rush or Tyler Huntley. Plus 190 is awfully good. Now, a hamstring injury in theory would limit him. But plus 190 gets to be pretty compelling for a guy who's usually sitting at probably what? Plus
130
most weeks.
Yeah.
There is something to be had at that price at plus 190.
You know, that one makes things complicated for sure. We'll see what happens on tomorrow's injury report, the final injury report of the week. But are there any specific quarterback situations that really stand out or they jumble things, whether it be receiver or anything? There are so many spots. You know, we got a new quarterback with the Jets. We don't know about Kyler. We talked about the Vikings. Now Bryce Young is out. Yeah. Jaden Daniels now out. Like, just it messes a lot of things up. And we have six teams on bye, Charge.
We got six teams on bye. Can we talk about Justin Herbert tonight?
Mm-hmm. Please
do. Let's do it. His line is 250.5 yards, which is second highest line. It's a big number. But I think there's a chance this Vikings defense is a paper tiger. Until last week, the Vikings had played for opposing quarterbacks Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, Jake Browning, Aaron Rodgers, and Dylan Gabriel. So on paper, they looked really, really good. Then last week, they play their first like proven good passer, Jalen Hurts, and he toys with the Vikings. He has a 4 incompletion game. He throws for 326 yards and 3 scores. And it's one thing for Brian Flores, Vikings defensive coordinator, to scramble the brains of Dylan Gabriel and Jake Browning with exotic pre-snap looks. But Justin Herbert's seen it all, right? That's a totally different story. He is not going to be affected that way. He probably gets Joe Alt back at tackle. That's a huge plus. He's topped 38 pass attempts in 4 of the past 5 games. And if he's going to throw that much, 250 yards gets to be pretty easy for Justin Herbert. And I like him over that number tonight. And I already told you earlier, I like Quentin Johnson as part of that passing attack.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, I think a lot of people have it in their minds that the Vikings have a top-notch defense. Did not look great over the weekend with the deep ball, and they'll be tested again tonight. Charch, appreciate your time. At Paul Charchian over on X. Make sure you check out Guillotine Leagues. Enjoy the game tonight and the rest of the week, all right?
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Good stuff with Paul Charchian, as usual. Let's get a book report. NFL, college football. What do the books need? Where's the sharp money going? We'll find out from our buddy Chuck Esposito coming up next. Yo, Sammy P, you got bet sweats.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Every Thursday on the show, we get a book report, go out to one of our friends, usually Las Vegas, and find out where the sharp money is going, some of the movement that we've seen, and plenty of movement, especially in the NFL this week, Sammy, because of all the quarterback uncertainty that we have. Welcome back. This is Bet Sweats, Joe Ostrowski, and Sam Panionovic. It's a busy, busy time on the sports calendar, especially if you're running a sports book like Chuck Esposito is over at Station Casinos. You've got the NFL in full swing. Same deal with college football. The World Series starts tomorrow night, and now the NBA season is underway. Chuck, thanks for taking time and joining us. How you doing?
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Always great to jump on with you, and you're right. It's so much going on, and us, of course, the NHL as well with the Vegas Golden Knights. So
yes.
Very busy time in sportsbooks out here in Vegas.
Well, I hate to start this way, Chuck, but it's the news of the day with this Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, Damon Jones, FBI's getting involved in all that. When you hear that an NBA player like Terry Rozier is potentially on the hook for shaving points for a long, long time, like, what's your reaction to that?
You know, I'm just kind of getting caught up with it this morning as well, guys, and just, you know, a little bit head-scratching and going to go back and kind of look at some past games and just kind of do some investigating on our own side as well to kind of to look at it. But at this point, I'm still, you know, kind of gathering all the information.
Yeah. You know, what's kind of fascinating about this, and you're in the Vegas perspective, so it's a little bit different than where sports betting has been legalized elsewhere. But a lot of these books, they promote prop bets, same game parlays, prop bets. Why? We know why, because they hit at a very high rate. And a lot of the younger generation is into the prop bets, which myself and Sam, we're a little bit older, but we're more sides and totals guys. But they promote it. And Adam Silver was talking about it earlier this week on the Pat McAfee show that maybe we need to dial it back. And that's it. Like, if you want to come up with the easiest way to cheat, whether you're a pro, whether you're in college, fake an injury, whatever it is, it's prop betting. It's much more challenging. It's happened. Like, we all remember the Tim Donaghy scandal, but it is certainly much more challenging when you have an entire team that would have to be involved and word would likely get out. But, you know, I do wonder if the prop betting, maybe not go away, but it's cut back immensely.
Yeah, it's hard to say, guys. I know you're absolutely right, though. I mean, I hear from a lot of younger guests that they really they target the prop betting, the same game parlays, the live aspect of wagering. So you can wager throughout the course of the game. The second it tips off or kicks off or first pitch, that is so appealing right now. So those are all popular wagering options that have grown, you know, so much interest and increased handle so much. And the largest growth has been in those areas. So it is something that, you know, we would definitely have to take a look at as well.
Curious your handle. Let's move to the NFL here, Chuck. Curious what you're seeing, what the guys are betting you on, Baltimore, Chicago. We just had Paul Charchian on, who does a lot of fantasy work in the space, and he says he doesn't think Lamar's playing. Obviously, the market says that it's likely that he does play. But have you taken anything either side, Chicago or Baltimore, noticeable?
We have, guys, opening the game at 5.5. It was quickly pushed up to 6.5, which led us to believe that Lamar was playing. But you're right. I've started to read some stuff and hear that there's a good chance that he doesn't play. If he doesn't play, this line will definitely crash down. I mean, I think you look at the 49ers with all the injuries they've had, and it's been the kind of circle the wagons, and they've played, and they're 5-2. It's been the exact opposite for the Ravens, that as talented as Lamar is, that offense runs a little bit more a schoolyard, and they're creative, and Lamar does a lot with his legs and his arm in that kind of scenario. That has not been the case without him. So early action has clearly been on the Ravens. Only about 60% of the tickets are on the Ravens right now. But if it comes out that he's not going to play, especially against the Bear team that's won 4 straight, I see this number coming down very, very quickly.
What is your mentality as someone running a sports book when it comes to quarterback uncertainty? So we have a couple of spots this week where we got word early. We know about Washington. We know about Carolina. Okay, they're going to the backup quarterback. The Jets, too. I don't know that there's much of a difference, but they end up going to the backup quarterback. And then there are situations like this one we're talking about with Baltimore where you don't quite know. Do you prefer to know early in the week so you can get to a certain number as quick as possible? Or is the uncertainty not the worst thing in the world because there's going to be a lot of people kind of making their own opinions and betting both sides of it?
I would much prefer to know. I think the fact that we're in an information era now, and it's not only us that is tuned into everything and constantly looking and listening and watching. Our guests are just as sophisticated and on top of it as well. I would much rather know. And when it comes to starting quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson, I mean, it is such an impact to the overall line. You're right, the Jets, it's not going to be a major fall off. There really was a minimal movement of the line at all. It didn't move the needle really without Justin Fields with the struggles he's had. But somebody like Lamar or Jaden Daniels, when we don't know for sure, it really does affect the line dramatically. We've seen some of these marquee starting quarterbacks affect the line sometimes at least 7 points or more. So we saw a huge jump in Kansas City without Daniels, and I'm sure it'll be the same case if Lamar doesn't play for the Ravens on Sunday.
Speaking of Kansas City, I told Joe on Monday, we had a cookout at the house on Sunday and had a lot of the boys over, And I think every single one has a ticket on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. So we might as well just end the season now, Chuck. I'm sure you're there as well. I'm sure the Chief bets have come in over the last three, 4 weeks. What does the future book look like right now in the NFL?
It really doesn't look bad. And the strange thing is you guys are absolutely right. But I've done other media shows, and people always ask me, you know, are the Chiefs back? And my response is they never left. I think you look at how talented they are with Mahomes. You've got Andy Reid. You've got Spags. Now you have a healthy Worthy. And bringing Rice back into the equation, they're phenomenal. And I think you look at Patrick Mahomes right now, and you can make a serious case that he's the MVP, that it's not Josh Allen. It is Patrick Mahomes right now. I know they're behind the Denver Broncos, who are 5-2, easily could be 7-0 without giving up two field goals at the end of the game, and the Chargers have really kind of stumbled after that 3-0 start. I'm not worried at all about the Chiefs. We've continued to lower them, and our conversation internally had been, you guys, you know what's going to happen. Everybody else is going to bet all these other teams, and we're going to hear the Chiefs are done, but come January, who's going to be right there? The Chiefs. So we did keep them relatively low, and actually we're in fairly good shape with the Chiefs as far as our future book liability goes.
With Chuck Esposito, Race and Sportsbook Director for Station Casinos out in Las Vegas. On the NFL side of things, Chuck, respected money, where have they come in on as far as NFL sides?
Well, we've actually seen a little bit of a late push on the dog in tonight's game on the Vikings. We've seen this number start to come down just a little bit. We saw some sharp money come in, which I was a little surprised, but was on Carolina, plus the 8. We opened this game 8. Bills come off their bye. Hadn't covered in the two straight games before they lost. Didn't cover against the Dolphins. Didn't cover against the Saints. Then lost to the Patriots and Falcons. Yet coming off a bye, we've seen some sharp money come in on Carolina in that game. And those are the ones, and really some sharp money on the Saints. I know Tampa's kind of banged up a bit, but some sharp money has come in on the Saints too. And we've seen a 1.5 drop against Tampa. I think it's a product of how beat up Tampa is, but also it seems like once teams play Detroit that next week, they don't play as well. So I think that's kind of a factor as well on that game. But those are the two that really kind of stand out so far, guys.
How about Giants and Eagles? These two teams played a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, the Giants won outright. The number was Philly minus 7.5 in New Jersey. And now it's 7.5 in Philly. I think that's a little low, but the Giants have definitely gained some respect. Dart is fun, man. Dart and Dable, that's a fun combo in New York, New Jersey, huh?
It really is. I mean, it's a shame that they don't have Malik Nabers there so he could kind of have that growth with Scataboo and Nabers. I think it's low, too. When we put it up, I kind of talked about it with my team. We were looking at the game, and I'm like, God, it's going to be really tough for the Giants to come back from what they gave up against Denver in the fourth quarter. And then it's a revenge game for Philly. Philly kind of similar to Kansas City. Same thing last year, 2-2. The internal problems are not that good. They just kind of go through the motions. When they have to turn it up, they probably will. I thought the number was too low last week when they were only 1.5 or 2-point favorites against Minnesota. I still think it's low this week at 7. I clearly think this number is going to go up. In my mind, there's no question it doesn't go north of 7 and close in that 7.5 or 8 range on Sunday.
All right, with Chuck Esposito here. Chuck, let's jump over to the college football things, the slate that we have here. And as far as the action, what stands out? Is there specific respected play, public play? What jumps out when it comes to this weekend?
I think overall, guys, in college football, we've seen so much parity. You've seen so many great games and so many of the top 10 teams that have struggled and movement there. I mean, there's some really good games this week. I think the Ole Miss-Oklahoma game is a great game. Ole Miss comes off the loss. That's a really good game. We've seen a little bit of a push on Oklahoma in this game. We opened 4.5. The game has gone up to 5. The Vanderbilt game, too, the Vanderbilt-Missouri game. It's hard to believe that we're talking about Vandy and Mizzou at 15-10 in the country. Both teams come in at 6-1. Vandy opened up a 3-point favorite here. We've seen a little bit of money there. And then the A&M game against LSU. I mean, LSU with 2 losses already, they're done. Yet maybe a signature win here against A&M A&M just 3-9 against the number of their last 12 games, and 2-12 against the number their last 14 games against LSU. So we've seen a little bit of loosey money come in as well, but maybe not quite the marquee schedule we've seen over the last 2 or 3 weeks. But those are three games that really jump out, as well as the BYU-Iowa State game and the Houston-ASU game. So about 5 or 6 really good games this weekend as well, including Missouri and Vandy.
Circling that one, Joe, 180 LSU. I see what Chuck did there. I'm circling 180 LSU. Okay, all right, I might bet that one. Heisman Trophy, if you had a vote, Chuck, who do you give it to today?
Tonight?
Yeah, if you had a Heisman vote and you could give your Heisman ballot, who would you pick?
I'm starting to lean towards a certain quarterback that happens to play for Alabama.
Okay. Yep, Simpson, I get it. Do you rate them as a significantly better than the SEC, other SEC teams, or do you have Alabama very, very close with the rest?
I think it's close. I think the SEC, you look at that conference, and there's a lot of good teams in there. I think it's going to kind of depend on how it all shakes out based on the committee and where these teams are all slated at the end. But I do put them at the top right now.
And then Ohio State is just so much better than everybody, it feels like. I know from a power rating standpoint, you probably have them number one. I was talking to a couple guys that do what you do, and they said the gap between Ohio State and Oregon, Bama, Indiana is still like 4.5-5 points. That's pretty high. Even though there is a lot of parity, it's clear who the best team in the country is, no?
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, I love Oregon, too, and, you know, especially against teams that are maybe a tick just below the top 5 or 6 in the country. I mean, they just keep their foot on the gas, and they don't let up. But it's we'll see what happens over the last third of the season, guys. But right now it's Ohio State and then everybody else.
Chuck, I'm assuming with Major League Baseball, it's going to pop back up tomorrow, finally, after a little bit of a layoff here. We get World Series game number one, Dodgers-Jays. Assuming that your perspective is, can we please get a good series? Can we please get 6-7 games as opposed to 4-5?
I would love it if that's the case. And, you know, with our close proximity to Southern California, we don't have a professional baseball team yet. Everybody loves the Dodgers. However, with the odds being as low as they've been all year, we actually are in fair shape as far as liability goes on the future book. But the team that we're actually in the best shape on going into the playoffs was the Toronto Blue Jays. Just a lack of respect from the bettors with the Blue Jays. However, when you look at the Jays, guys, best record in the American League, but also the best home record in baseball. I know it's tough against the Dodgers. I know we're going to need the Jays in every game, but I actually think it's going to be a little bit better series than a lot of people do. The series price has already been pushed up from -245 to -260, 265. They're not going to be the favorite in any game. The Jays are going to be a dog, even at home, but I give them a shot. I think the series does go at least 6 games. Again, best record at home in baseball.
Chuck, final minute. Is there one specific NFL or college football side that you would like to be aligned with the most this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we actually touched on it, guys, and it's the Eagles. I'm really hoping that somehow we get some Giant money to show that you look at the Giants and they played well. They've been in a lot of games. Don't forget they let, you know, 2 bad comebacks. Dallas came back and beat the Giants at the end of the game, and so did the Broncos. They could have a much different record today. So I'm hoping once this game gets pushed maybe to 7.5, we see a lot of Giant money come in, because I really do like the Eagles this week. I think it's going to be a really tough game for the Giants to bounce back after last week and the revenge factor for Philly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what. Get to our lightning bets coming up in just a couple of minutes. Got Thursday night football. This is a college game. Not much attention going on there. Don't forget the World Series starts tomorrow as well. Sam, it feels like baseball's been gone for like 3 weeks. I completely forgot about it until we were talking with Chuck. I'm like, oh, yeah, the World Series starts tomorrow.
So I do want to bring up this Damon Jones thing before we get out of here, because there is a lot of dot connecting going on right now, and I think you know who I'm talking about. But there's a listener of ours that has a Blue Jays bet at 55-1. Nice ticket, huh, to win the whole thing. 55-1. Trumps my 8-1. So ball's on the table, 55-1. He's wondering if there's any hedge possibilities. I think at 55-1, you can lay a little Dodger series price, right? I mean, why not? If you got 55-1, you could lay a little 230, no?
You can. How much do you want to gamble?
That's the question.
I asked that because it's something that I brought up to you yesterday. You don't have that ticket, but you also are holding a Blue Jays ticket. Now, different scenarios, 8-1 versus 55, but you're both aligned on that side. So what do you think about tomorrow? Do you have a strong opinion on who's going to win that game? Because if you can get Toronto to take a 1-0 lead, boy, it makes life a lot easier as far as hedging. Now, with the 55, I'd be fine to lay that price going into it. And, you know, maybe you could reassess after every game where you're at. But, like, for you, with your spot of 8-1, I would probably try to wait, because I think there's a decent chance that Toronto takes game one. And then if I'm this person with the 55, I would just lay the price going into it.
Right. I'm not going to do anything, is what I told him. And I'm not going to – he didn't give me permission to put his business how much he bet, so I'm not going to do that. I don't think it's a full unit, though, considering what he said. So let's call it maybe a half unit at 55-1. That's a lot of possibility there. Why can't the Jays win game one? I mean, they're at home. They've been very good for the most part all season at home. Snell's okay. I mean, he's definitely pitched in big games before, but he could be beaten. I was bringing up maybe Dodgers in 5 or Dodgers in 6 or maybe both to kind of spin the yarn that way. If you don't want to lay, you know, 215 at one book, 230 at another, 250 at another. I mean, the price is obviously different at all these different books, but he's got a great bet at 55-1, and I'm not hedging my 8. That's what I said. Now, at 55, I think it's a different conversation, but a hell of a bet there, no doubt.
Yeah, I wouldn't hedge it either. You're right. There are different ways that you can attack this, too. When it comes to, you can do, they offer a spread, right? Like minus a game and a half?
Two, yeah, that's what he brought up. He said, I'm thinking about Dodgers 1.5 at minus 115, but obviously could get middled there if the Dodgers win in 7.
I know. But if the Dodgers win in 7, you would think he would also have probably an opportunity to get a good Jays series price in the middle of the series, right?
Yes, but he doesn't need more Jays, I don't think, because he's got the 55.
Oh, yeah. I meant a better Dodgers price is what I meant.
Dodgers, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, of course. All right. Yeah, it's an interesting situation that you got there. All right. Let's find out with Thursday Night Football, the start of week number 8, where the room is.
Where's the room?
All right, we bring in EP Paul Aspen, find out what the room is doing with Thursday Night Football. Vikings and Chargers. What do you have, Paul?
In a new development, the room is on all overs in tonight's Thursday Night Football game for player props. Okay. So, most bet props at BetMGM for tonight's Thursday Night Football game between the Chargers and Vikings. Number 5, Vidal over 55.5 rushing yards.
I get it. I think Haskins is out or questionable for this game, so that would make him be the
stinks.
Dude. Yeah.
Is this Sam's guy or Sam, did you go Haskins? Oh, you had Haskins.
I picked up Haskins. Somebody else picked up Vidal. Haskins had 4 fantasy points. Vidal had 21. Stay hot, kid.
It sucks when you pick the wrong guy. You're like, I don't know, flip a coin. Oh, I got the wrong one. This bum.
All right, number 4. Aronde Gadsden II, over 41.5 receiving yards.
I'm liking this Minnesota side so far. What else? That was the hot name last week.
Yeah. Carson Wentz.
Told me to pick him up. Let's see, did I get him? I did not get him. Somebody scooped in ahead of me and took him in the waiver wire.
If Gertz was on Gadsden, might be our fade.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Gadsden
Carson
is
Wentz.
Down and he's not moving. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Wentz over 11.5 rushing yards.
Oh. How is that the
really?
Play?
Yeah. So, like, if Carson Wentz does his dumb scramble sort of thing and ends up taking, like, a 15-yard sack, that's not negative rushing yards, right? That's just a sack.
They take away passing, I believe.
Yeah.
Because the negative rushing is the kneel down.
Right. But that's, like, it, right?
Yes.
Unless you were to get, like, a double reverse handoff or something, I think.
Yeah. All right. I might be wrong about the passing, but I know they don't take away from the rushing for that.
Yeah, they don't take away from the rushing. All right, number 2, most popular prop for tonight's game, TJ Hockenson over 31.5 receiving yards.
All right.
And the number 1 most popular prop for tonight, BetMGM, Jordan Addison over 51.5 receiving yards.
He was the guy. He was the guy last week. I was just, you said Hockenson. I'm like, my reaction was, oh, I'm surprised it's not Addison. And then you go right to Addison. That makes sense. It's recency bias. Okay, who had the biggest game for the Vikings most recently? They're going over on Addison. Nothing on Jefferson, huh?
Nothing.
That's interesting, Sam.
If I had my bell, I would be pounding the bell right now. Justin Jefferson over 80.5. That's my favorite bet tonight.
Why aren't they betting Jefferson?
Because you got to bet Hockenson and Addison.
He's plus 150 for a touchdown, Jefferson. Best player on the field. Yes. I'm sure he hasn't scored much recently, but I don't really care about that. That's got to be why you're getting that price. He has not scored since he got a touchdown against the Bears in week 1.
Well, he's scoring tonight. I hate to break it to you.
Jefferson Moon?
JJ touchdown.
Jefferson 10 toes Moon.
Wait. Now you're combining segments. I don't think that's a thing. I like it.
There's no rules. There's no rules. Yeah, purple not Viking anymore. Moon.
Yeah, I'm in a studio and nobody knows who I am. I don't give a damn anymore.
Who are you? Do you have a name tag?
Did you push the button?
I do have a name tag. push the button.
Did you push the button? Were you asked that
Who
question?
Who said that today? In the chat? I
think Who are you? Who are you? And did you push the button? So good. I think that JJ wants a good look. All right, Sam, official. What are your player props?
I'm just doing the Jefferson over 80.5. You can find that readily available at BetMGM. Other books are higher, so we're going to take the best number and the best price. Over 80.5 receiving yards, and I'll take a piece. Nobody wants to do it. I'll take the Vikings and the points. Let's see. Best number I can get on Minnesota is 3.5 minus 115. I will gladly take that hook and take Minnesota plus 3.5.
Do you think it will be 3.5 at game time? I'm not sure. I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Go back to 3.
I don't know how the public's going to play it. I don't.
After our conversation, I want to bet Justin Jefferson touchdown at plus 150.
Do it.
That was not on my radar, but now it is. JJ gets back into the end zone, plus 150. Let's go V. Vikings, Virginia. Virginia minus 10.5, Vikings plus 3.5. That seems to be a show bet on Minnesota. I don't think Paul will join us, though, because we know how he feels about one Carson Wentz, right? You never, nope. Never, ever?
No, never, never, ever, 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 ever. Yeah, I'll go. How about the Wentz pick 6 versus the Eagles? Oh, it was beautiful last week. I'll go Jefferson, though. I'll join Sam on that. I mean, me being me. I'm like, whoa, when's the last time we got 2+ touchdowns at 10-1 for Justin Jefferson? But I'll just do the one at plus 155. Oh, since we didn't do 10 toes down, Jets, Browns, money line. Like 11-1.
Ew. You disgust me.
Okay, all right, we can't do Carson.
Can't do the Vikings.
I can't do Browns money
exactly.
line.
Yeah, right. He's betting on Tyrod Taylor and who? What was the other one? Dylan Gabriel?
Maybe we get Shadur at halftime? Who knows? World's our oyster.
Doing Jets,
Gabriel.
Browns, parlay.
Let him watch.
Moneyline parlay.
Can't do once.
How many weeks have both the Jets and Browns won in NFL?
Zero. Oh.
Both? Zero. Both would zero. Be zero for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're due.
Jake, what do you have?
Since Paul's not going to do it because now you know it's going to win, like I'm doing the Jefferson 2 touchdowns because now you know it's definitely happening. since Paul's going to do the Jets and the Browns but can't do Jefferson 2 touchdowns, I'm just moon 10 toes or down Jefferson. My final comment for everybody. But did you push the button?
Purple moon. This show's so stupid.
It's been a weird week.
Just wait. Dumb. You
weird?
Think it's dumb now?
I don't know how I would describe it. That's what's. I think we're back tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.